You're listening to Master Your Magic, a travel podcast following the wild tales and transformations of some of the greatest adventurers today. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Master Your Travel podcast. I am super excited to bring Lou on today. She also has a podcast of her own, and we're going to dive into all things with her solo travel. So let me introduce her. Lou Colmenares is a Venezuelan entrepreneur and the creator and founder of the Solo Female Traveler podcast. After traveling to 23 countries in less than 3 years, she realized that there's nothing more empowering than to travel the world on your own terms. Now with the podcast, her purpose is to connect solo travel with personal growth through stories by fellow women travelers from around the world. Woo! That's a lot of countries, girl. That's a lot of countries, and I want to hear all about it. Lou, I will let you introduce yourself to my tribe, and then we'll dive right in.
Of course. Well, thank you so much for having me here. I'm pretty grateful for this. And yeah, so hi, I'm Lou. I'm from Venezuela. And so, yeah, a little bit about me. So I am from South America, and you know, when I started traveling, I moved to the U.S. I was like, why I don't see, you know, that many women from my continent traveling. And that's how everything started. So, yeah.
So we talked like briefly. First of all, I told her, I was like, I've been to Venezuela. And she was like, what the hell?
That blew my mind.
So a long time ago, my ex-boyfriend and I were like, oh, let's go on a trip together. Like, I don't think we'd really traveled anywhere together. And we were like, oh, let's go to Hawaii. And then we were like, let's go somewhere like really different instead. And so we chose to go to Angel Falls, which I don't know if anybody knows, but it's the tallest waterfall in the world, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So it's so gorgeous. And we went to this small town called Canaima. And we like rode up this river, and it was a very, very small group of people. Just went with a backpack. We ended up sleeping in like a little like hammock. We met the coolest guy. His name was Jack Mantis. He was from South Africa, and he was crazy. He was filming himself and like going down the Amazon River and like picking up crocodiles and shit out of it. I was like, this guy is like nuts. But so we ended up becoming friends with him, and swimming at the base of Angel Falls. Have you seen the movie Up?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, isn't that the waterfall in Up? The Disney movie? So
actually it got inspired by that waterfall. If you pay attention at the beginning of the movie, that when he was planning to go there with his wife, the tickets they had, they say Venezuela.
Oh my God. Yeah. That movie is so sad and heartbreaking.
Yeah, but it's a great movie.
Yeah. It's a great movie.
If you cry, watch it.
Yeah, you definitely will cry if you watch it, but it's like well worth watching. Okay, so from Venezuela, what part of Venezuela are you from?
So I am from the south. It's called Barinas from where I'm from, and it's all about, you know, the fun thing to do from when you're from there is to go to the farm on the weekends, and it's a pretty small city.
I need more explanation in what you mean by farm.
Just, you know, farm, a place with horses and cows. Cool. And, you know, like that's like the main motor, like the main way of producing income in my town. Like everyone like either has a small, has cattle or makes cheese or they have some sort of crops. So, yeah.
Amazing. And what do you like? So you said not many women from your country are traveling. What are the women from your country doing?
Well, you know, you cannot really speak for everyone. I'm just going to share about what it was my experience being from that small town. But from what I remember, for example, being in high school, it's like you were getting ready to get a husband. You know, you had to be this perfect wife, always look pretty. Study whatever. So
that's the goal, is like get a husband for a lot of people. And in a way, is it like about having status, money, or is it safety, or kind of like all of the above, or like what, why?
From my perspective, the way I saw it is having a status, because something that I noticed is like, you know, you have to look for someone that has money, that has certain status. And I guess like with a status and money comes safety,
right,
for some people. So
security.
Security. So yeah, but I don't know. It was very interesting to see that, because it was just like, okay, like getting ready to be a trophy wife or be these very hard working women in a male dominated war, you know? So
yeah. And you're like, I'm not vibing with this. What the shit should I do with my life?
Exactly. And that's why I, you know, I found many, like I try and look until I was able to emigrate to the US.
Wow. So how, tell me about that process. Was it hard getting here, or like?
I believe that when you really want something, you just find a way.
Yeah.
And kind of like, I mean, in my opinion, I wanted it so bad that it didn't feel hard. I was just
totally
like, just gonna make it happen no matter what.
I love that. And you, yeah, but your family's in Venezuela.
All my family's back in Venezuela.
Are they like happy that you're here? Do they miss you? Or are they kind of like, damn, I wish I was there? Or how do they feel about it?
I mean, they miss me. They miss me, of course. And also because I haven't been back in more than 3 years because of COVID and all the situation in my country.
Yeah.
But yeah, they miss me. I miss them. Of course, they're my family. But, you know, you have to, sometimes you have to trade the good for the better. And, you know, being in this country allows me to travel, give me more financial security and more opportunities as well. But yeah, no, I emigrating here. I mean, I tried several times, different ways. Like, do I come here with a program? Like, how do I apply for a visa? What do I do? So at the end, one day I was walking and I saw a poster that said, live and work in the United States. And I was just like, what? I don't care what I have to do. I'll do it.
Oh my gosh. I don't know why, but it reminded me of The Greatest Showman, and he sees this like live and work, and then he like sees a poster, and then he goes and it like changes his whole life. That's like crazy.
I guess it only starts with a poster for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, that was it. And I went in, I was to come here as an au pair, where actually it's a great program for someone that is under 26 and looking for to travel. Because American families sponsor you. Of course, you have to go through psychological tests, English tests. But you know, like life is beautiful, and life when you really want something, like everything falls into place. Because like 3 days before I saw this poster, one of my cousins was like, "Hey Lou, I have this online course that I don't to learn English that I don't use. If you want to use it," and it's just like, sure.
You're and like, yes, I will learn. Let's do this.
Yeah. So I saw the poster. I went in, got the information, went back, and then I started studying English like 4 or 5 hours a day for 2 months. Until I was able to start to pass the interviews.
Wow. That's such a cool story. And then now you're in Chicago, right?
Now I am in Chicago, but then, you know, I was living in L.A.,
Okay, so where I'm at, where in LA?
I was in Santa Monica.
That's okay, cool. By the beach, that's nice.
Yeah, the family that chose me lived there, so yeah.
That's really cool. What's it, I don't know much about family sponsoring, but like what happens when that happens?
So when you're an au pair, you come here as an employee. Like employee slash student. So you come with a visa that allows you to do both. And so, yeah, they bring you in, you live with them, and you work with, for them as a nanny. And so yeah. And they choose your hours. So they pretty much, you know, you work with them for 45 hours a week, and they pay you and you live with them and all that.
That's really cool. So you got to kind of like do, was it one baby that you were taking care of?
I had twins. They were
twins. Oh my God, shit. That's hard.
Yeah, they were. They kept
a lot. old were they?
Yeah.
Were they like infants?
They were three, actually. They were 12.
Okay. Okay. That's like a little bit better, but maybe, I don't know. Maybe the 3-year-olds are a lot to handle.
Yeah.
My best friend has a 2-year-old and she is like, she's crazy. She's like a thrasher and she's so cute and like growing up so fast, but yeah, she's a lot, just one.
Yeah. You know, again, like, they are really cute, but they are also keep you busy. And I don't know, I was talking to someone yesterday because, you know, when you're also, I'm turning 30 next month.
Yay, happy birthday.
Yay, thank you. And it's just like the conversation around kids is like, hey, like everyone is kind of like asking those questions. I don't know, at least for me, maybe because my family is Hispanic and that we value family a lot. And it's just like, man, I don't know if I can do this for free. Like, it's such a handful.
Yeah, totally. You're like, I'm about to, like, I need to get paid at this point. So then, so you must have transitioned and got a job after that. What made you shift gears and, like, how did you end up Santa Monica to Chicago?
Right. Okay. So, perfect. So here, so my travel stories are going to start because, well, I moved here to the U.S. I was in California. I was in Los Angeles, like the places I saw in all the movies. It was just like, what? This is amazing. For me, coming from a very small town in a developing country, quote unquote, it's just like, it's really mind-blowing to be in a place you have dreamed for so long. But yeah, I was there. I was working as an au pair. You know, for everyone listening to this that is thinking to emigrate or have emigrated, you know, I've been there. It's hard at the beginning, but it gets better with time and when the opportunities start showing up. So my plan was to go back to Venezuela to graduate. I was studying hospitality. And in 2014, things in Venezuela went really bad, like really, yes, really bad. And I was just like, oh, I can go back. So I again, you know, when I guess what is for you is for you. I don't know how this works. I'm still looking for answers, but which you gave me a lot of answers the first time we talked. But
oh, good, yay! So for anyone listening, we were talking a lot about like human design and like your Saturn return, and we like just, because we had just met, we like dove straight into like the spiritual shit. And I was like, oh my God, I love her. Like, we can really like go there together. So,
yeah, no, thank you so much. And no, but yeah, I couldn't go back. So I was just like, okay, what am I going to do? I'm moving to Venice. I was going to move to Argentina. And because they were giving papers to Venezuelans, they were really helping them out. And I was like, okay, I'm moving to Argentina. And then 2 months before I moved, I met my ex-husband. And
okay. I didn't know you were married.
I'm not married anymore. I'm divorced now.
Okay. Wow, I just slipped that right in there. I love it.
Yeah, so I met him and he was just like, well, you know, actually I told him, like, you know, I mean, we're in love, and if I stay in this country, at least, you know, I mean, it's because we're getting married or something like that. And I mean, we married after 2 months of meeting each other, and it worked for 3 years. But you know, we didn't work at the end. One of the reasons was like I started traveling nonstop, and he wasn't into traveling, so it was just like, well. It's really important to meet someone that, you know, have some shared values with you and kind of like some common interest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we made it happen like in 2 months, and then, you know, we learned what we needed to learn from that relationship. And now, you know, off we go on our own path. But yeah, actually when I married him and I got my green card, I was just like, wow, let's use this term. The world is such a beautiful place. Let's just go and start exploring. And I start traveling, you know, in Latin America. And then I went to Europe. And then
and this was when you were with him, or was this by yourself?
When I was with him.
Okay.
I When I was with them, I probably visited 16 countries. I went to two of
Wow.
them. Yeah.
That's a lot. So you guys were kind of traveling like full time, 16 countries, 3 years. I mean, that's a pretty good amount.
No, actually, well, 16 on my own, and then no, like 14 on my own, and then I went to two places with him.
What were the two places with him?
We went to Mexico and Argentina.
Fun. I've always wanted to go to Argentina. It's sounds really like magical there.
It is amazing. It is
Yeah.
amazing.
What's your favorite part about it? Or like, why should I go, I guess? Sell me on Argentina.
Well, I mean, knowing what I know about you so far, they're pretty open-minded, and like they have a different way of thinking, of course, depending on the city. But yeah, I don't know. People from the capital, from Buenos Aires, is like they have so many cool interests, and they're like, I don't know, these different way of like they think differently from the rest of South America.
Really interesting.
And
I
you
recently met a girl from Argentina, and she was such a good dancer, and her boy were like dancing together. I was like, "How did you guys meet?" And she's like, "We met in a dance class in Argentina and like just hit it off." And like, I mean, they were dope dancers. I was like, "Oh my God, that's a really fun story." I don't know. They're just like very I don't know what style of dance it was. It was had to have
Okay.
been like a mixture of a bunch of things, but they were very fun to watch.
That's amazing. I love watching dancers. It's just such an art.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, I mean, and then also I know now that we got into the I know our first call we talked about spirituality and stuff. Like when I was kind of like there is a place called Cordoba, and they have this town called Capilla del Monte, where like a lot of paranormal things are happening all the time. So you go there, and it's like people talk about aliens, people talk about like a lot of things that
I
you're like,
want to go
whoa,
here. That sounds so cool. So,
you're
like,
like.
what kind of paranormal stuff? Like, they're like, are they saying like ghosts, or like, is it more like spirit world, fairies and stuff?
UFOs,
Okay.
and then also I don't know if they are in a magnetic or a high energetic place, but they say that they see also there is this mountain that you climb, and then you see like weird colors in the sky, and
Whoa.
yeah, I didn't have time to climb that mountain.
What's the name of the mountain?
I will have to look it up. I don't have
Okay,
it.
look it up, because I'm like, I will go climb that mountain and see some crazy colors and UFOs. Let's do
Okay, I'll send you.
it.
I'll send you info.
Oh, that's really, really fun. I love that. Is it a very like romantic place?
Depends on what part you go to. Like I believe Buenos Aires is romantic. You have the tango, which is a dance that they have in that city. But then also, it depends. I think it caters for everyone and what you're looking for. Me and my ex, we were looking more like for adventure and hiking, so we went down to Patagonia,
I
and
want to go there so bad.
it is amazing. You guys have to go. It is incredible. You're just like, what? This exists
What's
in the world.
the big mountain there that like isn't it? It's like the one of the tallest mountains in Patagonia.
Mountain feet, I believe.
Yeah, and I want to climb it. I want to do all the things. I mean, I have never climbed like a 14er or anything like that. I can do some good hikes, but that might be like pushing a little bit, but I'm down to train and figure it out.
No, I mean, you have to train. It's if not, if the mountain is called Fitzroy,
Okay.
and then it has an elevation 11,171
That's
feet.
friggin' tall. Yeah, let's be real. Because I'm hosting a retreat in Peru in 2022, and so I'm like, I feel like what if I just hopped over to Patagonia after the retreat and climbed a mountain?
Why not?
Why not? Let's do it. Okay, so after you and him split up, you guys went your separate ways, and then that's when you were like, okay, now I've seen my taste of the world and I need to start traveling solo.
Yeah, well, actually, the traveling solo thing it started right after I got my green card. I had this idea. Actually, I had to go to like to therapy and stuff for that because I was just like, to me before, like traveling alone or with at that time without my husband was kind of like I felt like I was letting him down and I kind of like I had still like that programming from what I'm from my town that is like okay you gotta live for your husband and you gotta do everything and please him and I was just like no like oh no I shouldn't do that I gotta wait for him and
Right,
someone
that's crazy.
yeah and someone just told me just go. You're just trapping yourself. I'm pretty sure that your husband is not telling you to do any of things. So like, right. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm creating this myself. So I just booked a ticket. I had like that epiphany. I was just like, I just booked a ticket to Colombia and went there and that's where everything started.
Amazing. Were you like scared to travel alone? Were you like, what other, like anything that happened that kind of was like, I'm not really sure about this besides the husband?
I guess the excitement was I was more excited than scared because I saw it as a way of taking back not taking back but maybe like having that freedom that I always wanted and yeah and that's like that's what I one of the things about solo travel that is yeah, it's just like you go on your own you are in a different environment. You can be someone different if you want, because like no one knows you, and you do everything on your own terms. Like if you want to eat, you eat. If you want to, stay longer at a place, you stay. It's just like total freedom.
I love that so much. The first, like, well, not the first. That was like, oh yeah, I told you about that random Mexico trip with that guy. But that was like solo, ended up being solo. But the first kind of like solo situation I had, I really wanted to go to, I ended up going to Thailand. And I did know a girl, but we were kind of like on our own separate paths. So I was kind of doing my own thing, but also like still kind of in touch with her a little bit. But that was the first time I felt really that freedom of like, I don't have anywhere to be right now. I don't have anybody that's like waiting for me to do something for them. Like, I don't have anything holding me back from like what I really want to do. And it was like, I think that's really like what gave me the travel bug and like what like changed everything. And then I ended up coming back to LA after and I got super depressed because I was like, oh my God, like what is this life now? Like I have to go and get up every morning at this fucking same time and like go teach yoga and like it's which is fine. Like it was a fun job. I love teaching, but I was like, shit, like I don't have the opportunity anymore to just be. I have to like be something else. And so I totally hear you on that. Like, oh, it feels so good to be alone and out there.
Yeah, and you said something really interesting that is that I don't have anyone waiting for me, which is at the same time is scary but empowering at the same time because you are responsible for your own.
Totally.
And there's nothing more empowering than that because you realize that you are capable of much more than you thought you will.
Oh, I love that. That's so special. You're like really making me want to go take a solo trip. And you know, there's so many magical like places around me and you know, I really want to go do like a I want to go do a trip in Joshua Tree by myself. Which I have done a couple of those, but I want to like maybe just get a spot out there and like maybe eat some mushrooms and just relax and like stare at the sky and like just be alone for a little bit. But I also like I think I need to do some sort of like international getaway. Oh my God, you would love this. Okay, so do you know what ley lines are?
They what?
Ley lines.
No.
They're basically like these lines in the universe where there's more energy and there's it's I'm like probably explaining this horribly, but basically like the earth has chakras, just like we have a chakra system.
Yeah.
And then if there's this site that you can type your birthday in, and then it tells you your location across the whole world, that you're like most magnetized and why. And it's really crazy. Like when you look it up, like every single one of mine, like there, cause it shows me like my sun, my Jupiter, my Mars, like all these different things for me specifically in the world, that when I go to that spot physically, like I'm going to have either super heightened like energy or like big, like monumental things happen and shift in my life.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's so cool. And like every single one of mine that I type, like, cause you type in your birthday, they were all near the water, which is like very me. But some of them were just like in these really cool places. And so what I want to do is like, I want to do a trip where I go and like visit these different places and like kind of have that experience.
That sounds like a great adventure.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll send it to you whenever, whenever we get off, and like, you should type it in and like, let me know whatever you find. It's so cool. For anybody listening, I'm like, I'll link it below, like type in your birthday and like do the thing. Cause it'll surprise you like where the universe is kind of like, you need to be here.
Yeah. And also I know there are your listeners, but it will be really cool if they share with you, if they have been to one of those places already.
Yes. I would love that. I would love that. Like, some of mine were like in the middle, the dead middle of the Red Sea. I was like, what? That is so cool. And then I ended up talking to one of my yoga students, and he's like, oh yeah. Like, cause he goes to Saudi Arabia all the time. And he's like, right. I'm literally building a city in the dead middle of the Red Sea. I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, that's why I've been going out there this whole time. I was like, what the hell? Like, so it just like, there's so many weird, like, things already starting to kind of unfold. There's one in Peru that I had planned a part of my Peru trip to be in this place. And then I did that, and it's right where I'd planned to go, and like just weird things. So I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. It was like out near like Fiji, and like, so I got all the good places. I got all the tropical places.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Places where you can master your magic, which is
yes. Exactly. Okay. So I know I got us a little off track. Where were we? Oh, actually, I wanted to ask you just like solo travel in general, because you talk to so many women about solo travel, which I think is so amazing and fascinating. And for anybody who's like needs inspiration or tips, definitely check her podcast out. But did you have any stories on there from the women that you've talked to that were like, either like life-changing, transformative, or just like tips on solo travel that you want to share with people?
Yeah, of course. Well, I think it's, I've been so grateful and fortunate enough to have amazing women in the podcast. If you listen to some of my first interviews, I'm super nervous because I got this super amazing woman wanted to be on my podcast. It's like, what? So, but then, yeah, I will make it like, let's see, how do I explain this? The way I see it is, you know, I'm just not going to tell you like, hey, just go out there and go travel and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's a process. It's a process that starts first mentally, first emotionally, I will say. First it starts emotionally where we have this feeling of discomfort, or it's like, I should be getting more out of life, maybe frustration. A lot of the women, not a lot, but some of the women I interview, they had their first solo travel experience after getting a divorce, for example. Or yeah. Where it's like, I just need to find myself again. So and they went to, you know, have the adventures of their life, and they're like, wow. And also, some of my guests, they went on their first solo experience after experiencing burnout. They had these very high and great corporate jobs, and then at some point they were like, "What? This is not me. I'm working my life away. I just need to reconnect with myself." And they made it happen. But yeah, they first started with this feeling of discomfort, and then they went on this process mentally of how do I make it happen? And I understand that women need to be empowered physically, mentally, and financially to make this happen. I have one of the episodes. She is this woman, Katrina. She is career break coach. And she, in the episode, she explains things that you can do to, you know, create a budget and ways where you can save money and use this money towards the trip that you want to take. So I think that, yeah, once you're empowered emotionally and mentally, and, you know, you will be surprised that one of the main things that stop us are time and money. It's like, oh, I don't have time. Totally. I don't have money. Yeah. But again, when you really want something, and then once you do it and you're like, and you see the rewards of it, you're like, oh, why didn't I do this sooner? So there is always money. There is always time. We just need to make it a priority.
I totally agree 100% with all of that. And like, I think what tends to happen a lot of the time is that when you get so stuck in your like routine, your brain sort of becomes this thing that's like, okay, this is how things are and this is the way that life goes. And it's almost like you stop growing.
Yeah.
Like you stop growing, you stop living, and it's almost like you don't even really realize what could be possible. Yeah. And so it's like, I mean, that's why I named my brand Master Your Magic, because it's like, if you don't feel internally like things are magical, like this is for me. But if you don't feel like things are magical in your life, then like, why the shit did you come here? Like, I want to make sure that my life that I have, like this one life as Myla, feels pretty damn magical for me on a daily basis. And traveling does that to me. And it snaps me back into myself. Like when I'm like getting too like human and I'm like, oh, I'm working all the time and doing the thing. I'm like, no. Why? No, stop. Go out and be in nature and like stop being so human and go be a freaking soul and have fun.
Yeah. And yeah, as you said, stop being so human. Our brain is, you know, it's programmed to keep us like, the brain likes routine and life safety and likes safety. So it's always, you know, we got to be safe. We got to be in the known. But then that's soul crushing. Like, yeah, maybe your brain likes that, but your soul does not.
Totally.
So, yeah. So it really helps to, you know, go travel and go put yourself in a different environment and see what you find out about yourself.
Yeah. I was just talking about this recently because I was like feeling my dad had passed away almost like a year ago on November 2nd. And, I was like feeling so sad and so depressed from it. And like, you know, and it was also like COVID and quarantine, and I was in this car accident, and I just felt so like my energy was like, it felt slammed shut, like just stuck. And like for the longest time, like I just couldn't get out of that energy and that vibration. And, you know, I was in my apartment in Los Angeles, like, you know, COVID was still going on. There wasn't a lot of travel, but, you know, still could go on, you know, trips and stuff. But it was like the small things, and they're not small, but like yoga, meditation, like they were helping a little, but they weren't getting me out of it. And then when I went traveling and I left for like 3 weeks and went to Mexico and was in like Tulum and like just hung out in the ocean by myself for a little while, everything shifted. Like everything changed. My brain had to readapt and had to get rid of the old. I was in a new environment, so I had to like change. I had to change, like, which is what your body and brain has to do when you're in a new place doing new things. And so it was like, when I came home, I felt like I took my like new brain, new energy that I created in Mexico and brought it back to my old environment. And then I was able to shift my old environment. But it was like, without the travel, I wasn't able to like get myself there. It's fucking crazy. Like, it literally saved me from like a depressive state.
That's amazing. That's amazing. First, I'm sorry about your dad. And second,
thank you.
That you did that and you were able. You see, like, you change your environment. You change your environment externally for a bit. And then everything changed inside. And then when you came back, you were able to shift your environment back home.
Yeah. It was like I was so weird before I left. I was so ungrateful, which is like not normally like me. But I was just like, oh, like I hate this and I hate that. And I'm like, what the hell? Like I'm not normally that person. I even was just like, ugh, like my cats, like I hate them, which is like the cutest like little babies in the world. But I was just like, ugh. I like wanted to like get rid of all my things and like take off and leave and never return. And you know,
and I mean that's and also we need that to appreciate, yeah. You know, like, and I think that's a great sign when you start becoming bitter and ungrateful. It's like, yeah. Okay, maybe it's time for a break. And
we need to create like a checklist, like how do you know it's time for like a transformational travel experience? One, you're bitter as fuck. Two, like what's the checklist? Did you check all 8 boxes? Okay, you need to get the fuck out of here.
That's a great idea. Actually, I'm like, I'll talk about this in my podcast.
I love it. Let's do it. I'm so into it. Okay. So I also want to know, well, this might take a little while, but you've been to 16 countries and I want to know which were the ones that stood out to you and what experiences did you have that were like, okay, this changed me as Lou forever as I know it.
Right. So, okay. So when I was married, I went to about, 16 countries. Then I divorced. I going back to being bitter and and ungrateful, I remember that last stage of my relationship and just hated everything.
Yes.
Like with my ex-husband, I was just like, why are you breathing?
You know? If you breathe, I will kill you. It's like, then if I don't, I'm going to die anyway. And you're like, perfect. Perfect.
Exactly. And that's not a good thing. You shouldn't be in that stage or that mood all the time. And like everything around me is just like, oh, poor me. I fell into the victim mentality. I was just like, oh, poor me. Why me?
Yeah.
So many things to be grateful for. So I just talked to my ex and that's when I told him we're getting divorced. I can't anymore. I'm not myself. I'm making my life miserable. I'm making your life miserable. So let's just split. And then I was just like, okay, what is the farthest place that I want to go, but I am afraid to go, but I will go. I'll make it happen. I don't know. So I thought about Vietnam. I had no idea. Yeah. No idea back then that Vietnam was a touristic place. No
Vietnam
idea.
Is beautiful. And I've never been, but a lot of my friends are from Vietnam, like their family. And yeah. it looks so magical and tropical and gorgeous. I am so jealous you went there.
It is an amazing place. So you guys, you can go, your listeners listening to this, you guys have to go. It's so cheap. It's so different. The people are so nice. So I just went there. I talking about transformation, I was just like, I'm just going to go there and trust the war again and see what happens. And I did it. I got there. I was very overwhelmed because there are a lot of people. The rules are different. Traffic is deep. Like traffic, it's just the traffic itself is an experience. Crossing the street is a must to do in Vietnam.
Oh, shit. Why? Like, I need to know details.
They don't stop. So they have mostly bikes, like scooters, like motorbikes. And then it's like you start walking and they go around you.
Whoa.
They don't have, I mean, if they have traffic lights, they don't respect them and they don't have stop signs or anything like that.
Okay, so you kind of just got to like be like, I'm doing this. I love it.
Yeah. So also, you know, it was great. I met amazing people over there. Also, like, people don't speak much English, so it's hard to communicate. But still, it's like they are so kind. And I had people that, you know, will invite me into their homes. I went there closer to the Chinese New Year. Mm. And then apparently they have these traditions where they invite people to their homes to have dinner and stuff. So I will be walking on the streets and people will invite me to their houses, or, you know, they will invite me to use their bathroom. I don't know why that was a thing, but I was, like they will like point out to the bathroom and it's like, okay, I guess I'll use the bathroom. I don't know.
That's actually really kind, because I know in Thailand, when you have to pee, they will charge you money to use the bathroom. So that's actually really nice.
Yeah. And that's one thing about Vietnam as well, that is not as, like touristy develop as Thailand. So it's still like those concepts about like charging for everything, or that everyone speaks English, that there's not there yet. I was bitter. I was mad with myself and my life. And I just went to Vietnam. I start, you know, trusting the process and like healing and making friends and just being myself at the fullest. And I guess that will be one of the countries that really made a change in my life. Also, you know, you when you travel, you always meet people. You make new friends, you meet guys. So it was also nice to, you know, reconnect with my sexuality again and all those amazing things that happen. But yeah,
you're like, I want to flirt. I want to feel like desired. Perfect.
Yeah, exactly. And for some reason, that's another thing about traveling, and especially solo travel, that you, like, I don't know why, but you attract, you get in a different frequency. You are vibrating differently, and you start attracting, like, these really cool people into your life. And you're like, whoa, where are these people back home? You know? Yes. Like, I've never met someone this interesting. So that happened. I went to Vietnam, and then during that trip, I went to, I believe, 5 countries. I went to, from Vietnam, I went to Philippines, then I went to Indonesia, and then Malaysia and Singapore. And
wow. And this was all on the same trip?
All on the same trip. Yeah.
How long were you gone for?
I was gone for 2 months.
I still haven't done a 2 month trip, and I think it's because I have like the I have cats, like, and you know, and I would feel so bad. Actually, that's not true. Technically, when Flake was a baby, I did leave for 3 months. Remember, I told you I lived on a boat for 3 months and like failed. Yeah, so I did do that, but since that trip, I haven't. But I'm like, they're cats. Like, they'll still love me when I get home, and even if they don't, like, I will force them to love me again.
Yeah, they have to.
Exactly. Yeah, y'all are stuck with me. So yeah, I want to do probably like 3 months or so. I want to scuba dive and learn to surf and like do all the things.
That's amazing. Go for it. Do it.
Yeah. I'll let you know when it happens.
but also, like, you know, we're here talking about 2 months, 3 months. You know, to make it happen, to have this experience, you don't have to go for that long. I feel that, you know, I got lost again last month. I got burnt out from my corporate job, and I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to go to Puerto Rico for a week. Again, had the time of my life, and then I came back full of energy. So
I agree 1,000%. Whenever I just went to Mexico, that story, it was like 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks, and it changed everything. So you don't need – even a weekend away, just go. Do it as much as you can. Get out of the comfort zone.
Out of the comfort zone. I guess that's the rule. Out of your comfort zone.
Totally. The more uncomfortable you can make yourself, the more you grow. Okay, I will tell you this. I saw, and I want to see if I can hunt this picture down, but it was this man, and he had this tiny, tiny little pot with a plant that was like a little baby, like the size of my pinky finger. And then he was standing next to a plant that was like huge, like way taller than he was, took up like the whole entire room. And he's like, these are the exact same plants. They came from the exact same plant, but this little one I kept in the same little pot its entire life, and I never changed it. I still kept it healthy, but I didn't ever move the pot. Whereas the other one was that same size, but he kept moving it to bigger pots, more soil. He said it was hard to keep that one alive because, like, you know, changing the pot all the time was hard on it, and changing the soil, but then it would adapt, and it kept growing and growing and growing. And I was like, That's such a good visual representation of what happens to a person when you keep yourself in the same tiny little pot your whole life, or when you get into a big pot and you're like, shit, this is new, this is big, this is scary, it's unfamiliar, and then you adapt and you grow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then after going to the next pot that is bigger.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that analogy. I love that analogy. I don't know if you've heard about the one in the shark. Like a shark will grow as big as the fish tank it is in.
So
that's also like why, like, sharks that are in fish tanks, they are pretty small, but then the ones that are in the ocean are huge. I mean, depending on which type of shark, for those that know about marine biology, of course. But yeah, you will always be as big as your environment and the people you're surrounded with. So it's always your choice. Do you want to be in a small environment or like with, you know, this can go so many ways, but do you want to keep yourself contained or do you just want to go out there and find, like, you know, I am capable to do this. I have so much potential. I'll go for it. And it will be scary. It always is scary, as you said, but you know, you adapt, you're that, and then, yeah, let's go for the next scary thing until you're like, fuck, I did all that.
I know. That's so cool. I actually, like, you're very inspiring to me because I think there's even still parts of me that are like, oh my God, like solo travel, I think, like, scares me a little bit.
Yeah.
I like having a person there to, like, bounce things off of, but I also have traveled by myself. And, like, the times that I did, I was like, it's so nice not having anybody in my fucking ear all the time. Like, with, you know, and I love everybody, but, like, with anybody else's opinion on what, like, the day should be like. It's such a different experience.
It is. And also I understand it's not for everyone. And you know, something that I always talk about in the podcast is just start step by step. Maybe you don't feel like taking a 2-month trip to Asia, but maybe you feel like going out for a coffee on your own, half a day with yourself. That is as enriching as, you know, doing whatever you need to do.
Really?
Going back to the pots and the environments and the fish tank, it's just like, maybe at this point in my life for me, you know, getting out of my comfort zone and doing those different things will be, you know, it will take a lot because my comfort zone is pretty big. But, you know, if you're just studying, go for that date. You know, if you're afraid of, you know, if people will see me alone or like, what do I do if I'm not with anyone? Start with those little steps and then start building up from there.
Totally. So, absolutely. Yeah. What would you say for somebody that's like listening to us and they're like, I think I want to take a solo trip. What would you say safety wise, if that's their concern, that you would say, just beware of these things?
Yeah, of course. I mean, safety is always a topic that comes up. It depends on what you want and where you're going. Always research the place you're going to. Always, like, for example, if it is a different country, research about the culture. Like, there are so many blogs about, like, people that have gone and to those places and shared their experience. And also there are podcasts now. Something I even do is that I reach out on Instagram to people living in those countries. I'm like, hey, I'm trying to visit. Like, what can you tell me about it? I've met a cool friends from doing those weird things. But yeah, just first research. Does that country offers what I'm looking for? Actually, going back before the research, what are you looking for? Do you want to relax? Do you want adventure? Do you want a retreat? Do you want to meditate? Do you want, you know, there's like, what do you want? And be clear on that. And then from that, you can filter your research. So it's like, okay, I want adventure. So what countries, you know, do I want, like, I don't know, hiking? I want to swim. I want to dive. So what country offers that? And then from there, have a budget as well. Have a good budget. I guess, like, most of our insecurities come from not having enough money. So make a budget. Like, if your trip, you think you're going to spend $500, get a budget of 700,
Totally.
1,000. It will look different for everyone. So you feel more safer mentally when you have more than enough.
Absolutely.
And then also, I mean, if you're really scared, plan your trip carefully. Like, okay, I'm going to stay here. This will be, you know, I'm going to stay at this hotel, for example. And then this hotel has taxis, transportation. I will stick with a tour, or I will stick with, I don't know, a tour or a company, a tour company. So, yeah, and that will be it. Then, like, you know, more general safety, tips will be, you know, the basics. If you're alone, please don't walk alone at night. Please, you know, don't go to a bar alone and get drunk. You know, watch your drink. Make sure that, you know, the people you hang out with, you know, depend where you meet them, if you trust, like, I don't know. I always follow my intuition a lot, and I feel that my intuition always tells me what's right and wrong. And if I meet someone and I don't like that person, I just get away from it. Even though it's like the person is super nice, but my intuition is telling me, nah, get away, I just get away. So connect with your intuition as well. It tells you more than you think.
Totally agree. Totally agree with that.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, I don't know what else about safety that will be like the biggest ones. And then, you know, it's not, I mean, you live in LA, I live in Chicago. We live in a country with, there is a lot of crime. Not everyone is safe. So if we're surviving here, if we're making it here, so, you know, when you go to another country, you'll be surprised that it's not us. Unsafe, of course, depending on the country. Don't go to Venezuela. Venezuela is pretty unsafe right now, but but you know, if you go to other countries, I also always watch your wallet and watch your bag. And so.
I always put my money in two different places.
Oh yes.
Yeah, just make sure you have like an extra pass, like copy of your passport and things that you need.
Yes.
Put money into different places in your luggage. That way, you're not carrying like a bunch of cash on you at the same time. And yeah.
And then so many gadgets and bags right now. There are like bags that only have the zipper in the part where like facing your back. They are like these invisible belts. You can put it in your shoes. So
totally. Yes. I love that. Okay. I feel like I have a couple more questions for you, but before I ask them, just because I like cut you off when we were saying about all the other countries, like, are there any other like stories that you want to share about all of, you said how many countries? 23?
23, yeah.
Oh, God, that's so cool. Are there any other stories that you want to share about the countries that you've seen?
Let me think. I mean, always, should I start now or?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I always look for experiences in the countries I've been to. And I mean, each country offers a different experience. To me, I have to say Asia was the one that offers me like the experiences that I enjoy the most.
Me too.
Yeah, because it's so different to what you think you know. And that's also a good thing about traveling, is that it offers you a different perspective and things that probably in the West are okay to do. Over there, it's like a thing to do them and vice versa. I don't know. I will say that, for example, in Vietnam and the Philippines, I guess like one of my purposes is women empowerment, and that's the why of the podcast and all my other businesses. But it's just like women empowerment. I always look for that. So I, you know, for example, in Vietnam, I noticed that the women were always like serving the guys as well. Like in any other, like for example, my countries as well. And I will always ask them why don't you go out with us? And why don't we all go out and eat together? And they were just like, no, we're just gonna stay at home. And it was like this weird dynamic, in the sense that they they didn't go out and enjoy, but they were the head of the household. They were the ones that spoke English. They were the ones that kept the business up and running. And I was just like, wow, this is so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then also in the, like when I was in the Philippines, I was in a remote island in near Palawan, and I was with native, and it was so funny, not so funny, I wasn't going to say that, but it was so interesting to see like the dynamics, like over there, like I went to a party, and then over there, like the girls would sit and just waiting for the guys to get them to dance.
Yeah, to come get them. They're just like sitting there like, hey.
Yeah, kind of like a movie from the 80s when they're at prom and like each one on the side.
Yeah.
I don't know, those experiences. It was like very interesting to me because I'm here now in the US where it's all about women empowerment and women having their way. It's just like going back there and just seeing that they both genders are just pretty happy with the way it is, and since they don't know anything else, it's okay. It's mm-hmm. okay for them. And no one is dissatisfied, no one is nothing. They just are happy with the way it is. They know what their roles are, and they right. function very well with that. It's like, oh, okay, so cool. I was always like the one that trying to be a guy, which I just also learned just to chill out.
Just chill out. You're like, yeah, maybe I'm coming on a little strong. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I always ask everybody this question. What would you say that your magical superpowers are?
I will say it's empathy. I am able to empathize and to connect with many people from, you know, different backgrounds, different races, different ages. So I was.
Would you consider yourself an empath?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what that truly means. I've been trying to.
There's been so much debate recently. Like some people are like, stop using the term empath and da da da. But I'm like, it's okay to be an empath. Like, you know, it basically is like you understand the feelings and emotions of others. And it's almost like you don't need somebody to tell you how they're feeling. You can sense how they're feeling because of their actions or like little mannerisms that they do or the things that they don't say. It's like you already know what's going on with that person. You can pick it up. It's like a strong feeling of what somebody else is feeling without them needing to communicate it, basically.
I will say I was one, but I'm trying not to be.
Well, I think, and that's the debate too, is a lot of people are like, well, when I'm an empath, I take on other people's emotions on accident. And so it's about learning a balance of being able to sense somebody else's feelings, right. but not take on what they're going through.
Yeah, I think that's very exhausting, which actually there's some study on that the empath they get mentally exhausted much faster than the narcissist. That's why the narcissists have so much energy. But yeah, I connect, but I'm not at that point where I feel what that person is feeling, because also I don't want to fall in the trap of feeling sorry for that person. I'm trying to be someone that is like, okay, I understand, but you know, let's empower you in a way where your situation can improve.
Totally agree. I totally agree. I think it's a lot of like for me, I always think of like a homeless person. And when you look at a homeless person, like the worst thing you could do is be like, oh, that's so sad. Like that person has nothing. But it's like, if you can see that person as like rich and like strong and like going through their own, you know, battle of whatever it is, survival, like whatever, and you see them as like an empowered person, like you're giving them such a much better gift than to see them as like sad and like hopeless.
Exactly. I mean, there's nothing you can do for them.
Yeah.
So yeah, but yeah.
That, I love that. That's a perfect, superpower, I would say. So how can everybody listening get a hold of you if they want more Lou in their lives?
Of course. And I want all of you in my life. So if you want to get in contact with me, my Instagram for the podcast is at the Solo Female Charlotte Podcast. And then in the biography is my personal. It's going to take a long time to spell my last name.
Spell it for them. Spell it.
Okay. So my name is Lou, L-U, and my last name is Colmenares, which is Colmenares. I feel like calling my bank right now. And then if you would like to listen to my podcast, it's called the Solo Female Trailhead Podcast and is available in all the platforms.
Amazing. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on today, Lou. I just had so much fun talking with you.
Same. We got to keep in contact.
Yeah, we definitely will. And everybody listening, check out her podcast. You know, if you liked this episode, if you like her podcast, definitely download, hit subscribe. It definitely helps us out. And, you know, that's all the magic that we have for you today.
Perfect.